All right, take your Bible and I'd have heard of the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, if you would. Just a couple of verses here we'll look at and try to speak to you a little bit tonight on great advice through Moses. I don't know that it was Moses' advice, it's more that it was God's advice, but God used Moses to give it to us, all right? So if you will, just right there in Exodus chapter 14, look down in verse 13. The Bible said, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now, if you're not familiar with what's going on here, the Israelites had been led out of Egypt through a mighty, miraculous working of God. God had opened the way for them to leave, and they'd come out. But at this point in the scripture, they were facing the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army seemed really to have them trapped. And like most people, the Israelites were kind of quick to see the problem.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
They're not quick to see the solution, but we're quick to see the problem, all right? And then to immediately figure, well, we've had it. It's over, and that's kind of the way it was. Look at verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. Behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Oh, man, nothing like optimistic folks. Just nothing like optimistic folks. I mean, just like I say, we're quick to see the problem and quick to decide, well, that's it, there's no hope. I'd like to say we're not like them, but the truth is we are. We're quick to forget the miracle-working power of God when we're confronted with a problem. And if we can't overcome it on our own, we're quick to forget how much God can do and what God can do. And the Israelites, they saw no way out, and they saw no way to get out of the situation that they were in, so they immediately did what we do. We complain. They complained to their leader. They complained to Moses. But fortunately, Moses listened to God. Moses listened to God and gave them direction they needed. Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you, that's why we need a man of God in our lives today. We need somebody that will lead us in the right direction. We need somebody that can get a hold of God and show us what the direction to go. I want you to look at the advice Moses gave them. First of all, right there in verse 13, two words, fear not. Fear ye not. Those three words, fear ye not. Now, humanly speaking, hey, to be honest, there was a lot of fear. I mean, you think about the whole situation. There was plenty to fear. The circumstances, the situation, there was nothing about it that looked good at all. They figured we're here at the mercy of the Egyptian army. Now, remember, they had left Egypt, but they hadn't armed themselves. So here they are, I mean, you know, kind of defenseless people. But folks, listen, you and I, just like the Israelites of that day, we're not to let the circumstances,
Amen.
We're not to let the situations that we face determine our state, okay? That is not what's supposed to do it. The truth is we need to be at peace,
Amen.
If we're going to accomplish much of anything for God. And basically that's what Moses is telling the people of God here. He said, fear not. He said, you need to be at peace, all right? Because if we don't have that peace, then our performance is not going to be anywhere near what it could be. You ever watch somebody performing who was nervous? You ever performed when you were nervous? Man, I have. Well, I've tried to, okay? I've tried to. I can remember piano recitals. That was torture. I don't know why piano teachers do that. But piano recitals. And you know, you go to it. And if you've ever learned an instrument and you had to go to a recital, Man, most people are nervous. We're nervous. I just finished teaching a class at Trinity Baptist Bible College, a bunch of Bible college students. I said kids. To me, they are all kids, you know. But I mean, they're like 19, 20, 21, 22, maybe that age, and that's about it. And here we are, we're having it's professional communications. And they had to get up and speak. And it was amazing. Here they were, really among people they knew. They knew all of them. And man, they were so scared it wasn't funny, all right? They'd get up there, and I told one of them, I gave the final on Monday, and they had to speak for that final grade. And I told one of them after it's over, I wanted to say to you, hey, take a breath, take a breath. You know, because man, it's just coming out. Hey, relax. But man, we're so afraid of the circumstances. But when we are, it means we can't do our best. We cannot do our best. That's why it's necessary for us not to be ruled by fear. Amen. So Moses knew what the situation was. He knew how bad it looked. He looked at those folks and he said, "Fear ye not. Fear not. Don't be afraid, all right? Don't be afraid." Now listen, I believe it's still that way with us today, that we don't need to be afraid. Now, the world says, no fear, no fear, no fear. Well, that's a completely different thing because they're not afraid of what they should be afraid of.
That's right.
There are some things you should be afraid of, but man, we ought to never be afraid of the face of man.
No.
We ought not to be afraid to take a stand for God.
Right.
We ought not to be afraid to do what God wants us to do, to follow him where he leads. We shouldn't be afraid to do that, but that's the thing we're afraid of. That is the thing we're afraid of. I've stood before. I don't know if Brother Ofdahl's had this experience or not, or Brother Dunbar either. Never have talked to him about it, but I have been in a situation, I mean, where I'd been preaching for years, and I got it invited to come and preach at something, and I don't know what it was, but man, I was just nervous as I could be. And I got behind the pulpit, and I never could get comfortable the whole time that I spoke that day. You say, what was wrong? I have no idea. I have no idea. You say, were you afraid? Well, not consciously afraid of anything. But man, it was just like nerves just coming at you, all right? Hey, you have to learn to conquer some of that stuff, all right? Hey, couple of things fearful people don't do well. Number one, they don't hear well. They don't hear well. You ever dealt with somebody that was afraid of something that was coming and you tried to talk to them? You know what I'm saying? Try to talk to them. Maybe they're facing some kind of, maybe even some kind of minor surgery or something like that, and they're just afraid. You ever tried to talk to a child who was fixing to get a shot? How well did they listen? They were thinking of that needle that was that big around that somebody was fixing to stick in their arm or somewhere else. All right? And they were afraid. But people that are afraid don't hear well. And they don't listen, all right? And when you're afraid, you don't have real good control over your members so you can do the job you need to do.
Amen.
Just can't do it. Now, if you can relax, you'd be all right. If you can relax, you can be okay. But you get nervous. People get nervous. They get afraid. And they lose control of their fingers. I don't mean they can't move them, but they can't get them to cooperate and move them exactly where they want them to go. You know what I'm saying? It's just they have a trouble with it, all right? Hey, that's why God says to man so often, fear not.
Amen.
Fear not. He says it here to the Israelites through Moses. He said, fear ye not. If you look in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, that's what he said to Abraham. He said, Abraham, don't be afraid.
Amen.
Fear not. Fear not. Joshua in Joshua chapter 8 was told the same thing. Fear not.
Amen.
Fear not. Gideon in Judges chapter 6 verse 23, God told him, fear not. Fear not. That was a message. Isaiah in Isaiah 35 verse 4, Isaiah, fear not.
Amen.
Fear not. Daniel chapter 10 verse 12, Daniel, fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid, all right? The first words the shepherds heard from the angel announcing the birth of Christ was, fear not. You're not. Hey, the Lord doesn't want you and I to run through this world afraid, okay?
Amen.
We shouldn't be afraid when we ought to be trusting Him. Trusting Him. Fear not. But notice the next thing He says to them there, right after fear not, verse 13, He said, stand still. Stand still. Stand still. Don't be moving around, all right? Right along with that encouragement to have peace is the admonition to, hey, be patient. Stand still. Stand still, He said, and see the salvation of the Lord. He's going to show it to you. He said, stand still. Stand still. That standing still, the flesh doesn't like that, right? Flesh always wants to be doing something. Always want to do something. It cannot wait for a word from God as to what to do.
Amen.
That's why I see a lot of Christians get in a lot of trouble, because they don't wait on God. They just go ahead and do whatever they think's right. They just act without thinking about what God's saying to them, all right? Can I say this to you? There's sometimes we don't need to do anything. Just stand still. Let God take care of it. Let the Lord take care of it. Sometimes the difference is not what we can do, but what God can do and what He wants to do, but we're too busy trying to figure out, well, what can I do? Well, sometimes the best thing you can do is stand still.
Amen.
Just be patient. Just be patient. You see, God doesn't work on our schedule. He doesn't work on our schedule, so we must needs be patient. We have to learn to just be patient. We have to wait on God. Now, I'll be honest. I'll tell you straight out, I don't like to wait on anybody. Do you? How many times you been second car in line at the red light, light changed green, and you're hitting the horn before the other guy's got time to breathe deep, all right? Or you're the one that's first in line, and the fellow behind you's that way. The light changes, and before the red has completely faded away, his horn's honking, all right? That's the way we are. We're not patient. We can't wait. We need to learn to wait. You and I, as God's people, we must learn to wait upon Him. We need to wait on His orders. We need to wait to see, what does He want me to do? What is it that what's on His mind that He wants me to do? I need to wait to hear from Him. Wait to hear from Him. You read through the scriptures, you find a lot of times that's what people need to do. Just wait to hear from God. Wait to hear from Him. Saul wouldn't do it, and he got in trouble because he wouldn't wait to hear from God. Wouldn't wait on it. Hey, we just need to do it. Sometimes it's a matter of waiting for God's time. God has a time when it's going to work. Your time, my time might not work, but God's time always works. We'll be patient. So we just need to stand still. Moses told the people of God there, stand still, all right? Stand still. Hey, sometimes it's a matter of waiting for God's choice to be revealed. God's choice. Now, we get in a hurry and we think we need to make the choice. But you need to wait on God. Let God make the choice. Let Him choose. Hey, you know what? If He wants to promote you, He can promote you. Wait until He chooses to do it. Just wait on Him. Learn to wait on that. Wait until His choice can be revealed. Just be patient, knowing God is at work. Our problem is, I think, we can't see it, so we think, well, He's not doing anything. Yes, He is. He's working. He's working. Hey, we ought to be patient when we've done all we can, and patient when there's nothing else we can do. Well, just wait on God, all right? Wait on Him to do it. So He said to us, fear not, stand still. And then He says, see the salvation of the Lord. You know, I believe God very often wants to show us something. He wants us to see something. But we get so preoccupied with our own little world that we miss what God would have us to see. We miss it. Because we get in a big hurry. We won't stand still. If we'd wait, hey, we don't see what God is doing, because oftentimes we're not looking for Him to do anything. We think, well, He's not. I've got to do it. see. Watch. Watch. It's important that we learn to keep our eyes open in life. Keep our eyes open in life. Ever watched a child do something when they're a little too young to do it? Like maybe drive a go-kart? You ever see what kind of damage can happen? Because they're just, you know, wait a minute, really need to be looking up here? Need to be paying attention right here? Hey, we miss things. That's the way God's people are so often. God says, you know, there's something I want you to see, but you need to be looking. You need to be looking. He tells us where to look for his return. But I wonder how many of God's people are really doing that, all right? Hey, we miss what God's doing. Don't do that. Keep your eyes open. Look around. Sometimes we, and I'm guilty, sometimes we get the idea that nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Nothing's going on. But it's because we've quit looking to see God doing his work, all right? Boy, we need to see his work. We need to see his blessing. We need to see his intervention in our behalf. We need to see his help. We need to see his protection. Just keep your eyes open, all right? Keep your eyes open. You miss that. Miss that. It's like going to a, best illustration I know is going to a football game where they've got, if you watch sports at home, what are we used to? Well, the replay. Right, we're used to the replay. We don't have to see it the first time it happens. We can watch the five replays they're going to make of that same deal. Slow motion, super slow motion, stop action, you know, everything. We're going to see it 15 times. Well, look, it's not going to work that way in life. God does some things that just happens. You need to be watching. You need to be watching. If you're not watching, it's gone. It's done. You missed it. What are you saying? I'm saying, fear not, stand still and see. Be looking. Be looking. Oh, but look at verse 14. What a tremendous promise. The Lord shall fight for you. Man, that's a great promise of God. Don't you like that? The Lord shall fight for you. Hey, when I was a little boy, I was a wimpy little kid. Sure was. And that was the way it was. I was a wimpy little kid. I wasn't in any hurry to get in a fight. I didn't want to hit anybody. I didn't want anybody to hit me, you know. But you get into positions. There was a time or two where I thought, man, I just wish I had a big friend that could be there.
Oh, yes.
I've told you about the experience with Brenda Collins. Brenda Collins was the neighborhood bouncer when we were growing up as kids. And, man, she could whoop every boy on the block, no problem. And they knew it, okay? Every one of them knew it, all right? And so there was an incident one day. It was a rumble, and I could see it coming. I just got around behind Brenda, said, take care of him. You can handle this. Man, I was... 4 or 5 years old probably at the time, maybe 6 at the most. Brenda was a teenager. She could whoop all the guys. And she did a good job that day, by the way, all right? She really did. Good job. Hey, wait a minute. The Bible says the Lord shall fight for you. How good it is to know we're not alone in the battle, huh? Isn't that a good thing? You're never alone in the battle. You're just not. I don't care where you are when... serving the Lord. The adversary is great. Sure is. The opposition is formidable. Yep. The enemies seem to be numerous, but the Lord shall fight for you. Hey, you may be surrounded, you may be outnumbered, you may be outgunned, but the Lord shall fight for you. I got news for you. It's good to have the ones never been defeated fighting for you. It's good to have the ones never been defeated fighting for you. Never lost a battle.
Amen.
He's never been on the verge of losing the battle. That's the Bible said he's the one who's going to fight for you. He's the one who's going to do it. Now, you and I, we're limited in ability. We are limited in ability, but he's not limited. There's no limit to his ability. You and I are limited in strength, if you will, but he is not limited in his strength or his power. That's why I'm saying to you, you're going to have somebody fight for you, that's the one you want fighting for you. If I was recruiting fighting help, I would not recruit my brother. Because he ain't no better than I am. I want somebody's mean, tough, rough, okay? That's what I want. Hey, listen, the Lord says, he said, I'll fight for you. Can I say this to you? If you're in the right, if you're in the will of God, you're in the right battle, you're on the right side, then you can count on him fighting for you. You can count on him fighting for you. Those Israelites didn't know it, but it was about to be an absolute wipeout. That's why Moses could tell them in verse 13, he said, take a look at these Egyptians. You see them today, you ain't ever going to see them again. He said, you'll see them again no more forever. Ever. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe that means those Israelites didn't see them washed up on the Dead Sea shore either. They were gone. It was over. Done for. All right? Why? Because the Lord went to fight for them. Now, here's the question. Here's the question. Will you act on the advice God's given through Moses? Will you act on that advice? Will you not be fearful in what God wants you to do? Don't be fearful. Go ahead. If it's out there knocking a door, I've been there and the door opens, some giant's there. Serious. I mean, look like a giant to me, you know. The door opens, this huge person's there. You want tempted to say, I got the wrong house. Sorry. Man, I don't need to be afraid. Don't need to be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. Hey, stand still. Be patient. You need God to do something for you? Let him do it. Wait on him. Wait on him. Don't try to get ahead of God. Wait on him. Open your eyes and see what he's doing. See as he's working. Remember this. He'll fight for you. He will fight for you. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Lord, would you just stand with us? Help us to see the advice given by Moses. And Lord, to take that advice. Lord, to remember it. Lord, we're not to be afraid. Many times our problem is we're afraid of what men can do. The Bible's told us, don't be afraid of what men can do. We're not to fear their face.